Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your word today, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In our first reading, we heard the story of Moses and the burning bush. He was out in the wilderness looking after the sheep, and he sees this bush burning. And there's nothing unusual about a burning bush in the wilderness. From time to time, they just catch fire and just do that. But this bush attracted him because it was burning, but it was not consumed. He could have just carried on his way and thought, oh yeah. But something caused him to look more closely. And as he turns and looks more closely, God speaks to him. That says something to me about the way God always speaks to us, that he doesn't force himself upon us. He waits until we are prepared to listen. He waits until we turn aside and take interest. Do you remember the temptations we read about a few weeks ago? Jesus was tempted to make a great display of himself, throwing himself off the pinnacle of the temple. But it wasn't his way, because that would have been a kind of, you must take notice of this action. No, God waits until we turn to him. It makes me think, what attracts us to church? The burning bush is like a bit of an advert. It says, look over here. What about our church life attracts people to come over and take a look? The signs we have outside church, our website, our Facebook page, all of these are adverts which draw people's attention to us. Our parking lot. And that makes me wonder, where do you park when you come to church? Do you park over there behind the rectory out of sight? Or do you park over there in the parking lot, where people who go by notice? And they say, oh, that church has a full parking lot. It might be worth taking a look. Now, I know there are reasons why sometimes you might need to park over here. You've got a car full of stuff you're bringing into the parish hall. You've got difficulty walking. You're giving a lift to somebody who has. But what about parking on that side, so that people notice? Just a thought. I'm going to resist the temptation to take my own car out of the garage every Sunday and take it over there, because that would be a bit silly. But the more cars we have over there, the more people might start saying, it's worth going to that church. Anyway, God speaks to Moses out of a burning bush. When you come to church, do you expect God to speak to you? Do you expect to meet him in the sacrament? And if not, why not? Because that's what he's promised to do. If you expect something, you probably notice it when it happens. If you don't expect it, you probably won't notice it when it happens. And so one of my questions is, what are our expectations when we come to worship? Will we expect to hear God speaking to us through the words of Scripture, through the sermon? Will we expect to meet him in the sacrament? And to some extent, we get what we expect. You may have noticed a prayer that I use before a sermon. We pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them. When I first started using that prayer, I thought, is this incredibly arrogant and big-headed that I expect God to speak through my words? And the more I thought about it, I think, no, it's not. It's simply expecting what God has called us to do. So what are your expectations? Now, I talked a moment ago about how people might notice a full parking lot and might be tempted to come. What happens when a person comes for the very first time to church? You know, they might even be coming for the very first time to any church. And I wonder if we remember what that felt like. I have absolutely no idea. I'm a cradle Episcopalian. I've been to church since I was a few weeks old, I guess. Don't really know, but back then. And that might apply to many of us. If we're not cradle Episcopalians, perhaps we were cradle Baptists or Lutherans or Catholics or something. We know what it's like coming into church. Can you imagine what it would be like to come here, walk through that door, and have absolutely no idea what it's going to be like on the other side? And how do we put people who do that at their ease? I've been wondering, what would it feel like coming to church for the first time? And I was reminded of a story a colleague told me some years ago. He was a parish priest in North Wales, and he was walking along the high street, what you probably call a main street, but I call it a high street. He was walking along the high street, and he saw one of his parishioners park his car and struggle to get out of the car. He knew this man had great difficulty walking. He always walked with a frame, and it was quite painful to watch because he really struggled. So he went up to this man and he said, "John, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you?" And John said to him, "Well, actually, Father, there is. Would you mind taking this £5 note, going into that betting shop over there, and putting it on Charlie's aunt in the 3:30 at Doncaster?" Or something like that. And my friend stopped and he thought, "I thoroughly disapprove of this gambling, but I've promised to do anything to help him, so I've got to do it." So there he was, dressed in black, clerical collar. He went to the betting shop, and like every betting shop in Britain, all the windows are whitewashed. Don't ask me why, but you just can't see what's going on inside. So he opened the door, walked in, and he described how every single conversation stopped and everybody turned and stared at him. And he had no idea where he's supposed to go and what he's supposed to do. And if it wasn't for the fact that he had promised to do this for John, he would have run away. Now, I suspect that that's how some people feel when they come to a church for the first time. Probably the conversations didn't all stop and they didn't all turn and stare at my friend, but he felt like it. So one of the things I want us to think about as a congregation is how we make the visitor feel welcome. And how we do it without embarrassing them. You've probably all had the experience of being so welcomed that you want to cringe in embarrassment at places. You know, where they say, "Oh, we have a visitor today. Stand up and tell us about yourself." Next time somebody does that to me, I'm planning to stand up and thank them for their welcome and say that it's not every church who would welcome somebody who's just been released from 30 years in prison. Because I'd love to see their faces. Maybe I shouldn't tell lies. But, you know, welcome is a tricky thing to get right. But somehow we want people to feel that they're wanted here, but it's important to us that they're here, and we want them to come back again. How do we get that right? And that's a question I'd like us to talk and think about an awful lot more. Because if our church has a future, it only has a future as it grows and welcomes people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your word today, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first lesson told the story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses was out looking after a flock of sheep, and his attention was caught by a bush that was burning. In that place, there's nothing particularly unusual about bushes spontaneously combusting, but something about this particular bush attracted him. It was burning, but it was not consumed, and kept on burning. Now, he could have just carried on his way and forgot all about it, but something attracted him and he turned to look more closely. And it's when he turns and looks more closely that he hears God speaking to him. That says something to me about the way God always speaks to us. Because God does not force his attention on us. He waits until we turn to take notice. You may remember a couple of weeks ago we had the reading of the temptations in the wilderness. One of them is for Jesus to be tempted to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, make an amazing impression on people. Angels will come and rescue him, and everyone will know exactly who he is. It would compel people to listen. But that's not the way of God. God does not force himself on us. He attracts and asks us to take an interest and waits for us to take an interest. Now, if that's so, how do we model that in our church life? What is it that, like the burning bush, acts as something to draw people into our fellowship? Maybe our notices outside the church cause people to notice. Perhaps our website and our Facebook page are the things that people look at and say, that looks interesting, I'm going to go and have a look. Maybe our parking lot is one of those things. You know, where do you park on a Sunday morning? How many of us have parked over there behind the rectory, where nobody can see our cars? How many have parked over there in that parking lot and crossed the road? And it occurs to me that for somebody driving past, they might look and say, oh, only a few cars there this morning. That can't be much going on in that church. And so I want to encourage you to think about where you park on the Sunday morning. Now, I know there are reasons why you might need to park there. You're doing coffee hour, you've got all this stuff to bring in, you want to park by the door. I get that. And you won't see me taking my car out of the garage and moving it over there just to make more of an attraction. But wouldn't it be great to feel that people drive past this church on a Sunday morning and they think, gosh, there are a lot of cars parked there. Must be good. Maybe we'll try it out. And as you go home today and you pass another church, you'll probably think, oh, a few cars at that one. Anyway, what attracts people to our fellowship? And then when Moses looks at the burning bush and he hears God speak to him, he hears God speak. Is that our expectation? Do we come to worship expecting God to speak to us? Do we expect to meet him in the sacrament? Somewhere in receiving bread and wine, somehow we meet him. If we expect something, we will notice it when it happens. If we don't expect it, we might not even notice because we're not taking any notice. So as you come to church, are you expecting to hear God's word through scripture and preaching? Are you expecting to meet him in taking the sacrament? You may have noticed a prayer that I use sometimes before a sermon. We pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them. When I started using that prayer, I thought, should I say this? It sounds incredibly big-headed. God is going to speak through me and all that kind of thing. And then I thought, yes, I should. Because God has called clergy to preach his word. So you should expect to hear it. You should expect people to be listening for it. I'm only expecting God to honour God's own call and speak through me and to us. And even if you get the most awful, appalling sermon, don't comment. even if you get the most appalling sermon, God can still speak through it. But do we come to church expectant? Now, a moment ago, I was talking about people being attracted to our church. They see something that makes them want to come. And I wonder what happens when a person comes here for the first time. Are they perhaps even coming to any church for the first time? I have no idea what that feels like. I was brought up as a cradle Episcopalian. I guess I went to church from a few weeks after I was born. Don't really know. But I have no memory of not going to church and going for the first time. For many of us who are cradle Episcopalians, that will be true. And it'll be true for those of us who were brought up Catholic or Lutheran or Baptist or something else. We know what church feels like. Can you imagine what it would be like to come here, walk through that door, or that door and find yourself in the middle of the service, in the most prominent position? Imagine coming for the first time. What would it be like going where you have no idea what awaits you on the other side of the door? Sounds a bit like dying when I say it like that, doesn't it? Anyway, I had an insight into this when a friend of mine told me a story a few years ago. He had been a parish priest in North Wales, and one day he was walking down the high street. I say high street, translate to American Main Street. He was walking down Main Street in the town where he was priest, and he saw one of his parishioners who was struggling to get out of his car. He knew John and knew that John had big problems with mobility. He walked with a frame and it was painful to see him struggling. So he went up to him and he said, John, is there anything I can do to help you? And John said, well, if you don't mind, Father, there is. Could you take this £5 note, go into that betting shop over there, and put it on Charlie's aunt in the 3:30 at Doncaster? Well, my friend strongly disapproved of gambling. But he thought, I've promised, I've got to do it. So there he is, dressed in black, clerical collar. He goes up to the door of a betting shop, and in Britain, betting shops all have whitewashed windows. Don't ask me why, but they do. So you can't see what's on the other side of the door. He goes in, and he described how all conversation in the place stopped, and everybody turned and stared at him. Now, it may not have been like that, but that's how it felt to him. He got inside and he had no idea where he was supposed to go and what he was supposed to do. And it was a bright sunny day, it was dark when he got inside, You can imagine how he felt. I suspect that when a person comes here for the first time, it might feel a bit like that. They don't know where to go. We give them leaflets. We tell them about books, but there are all these books, and which one is it? It's confusing. I want us as a congregation to think about how we welcome the visitor, how we welcome the stranger. How do we make them feel at home? How do we help them to feel we really want them to come back again? It's great having you here. Do come again. Come and join us for coffee and so on. I don't know about you, but I've been to churches where the welcome has been such that I've wanted to run away. And when I was looking for a previous parish, I paid visits to churches beforehand, incognito, to see what they were really like. There was one where, before I got anywhere near the door, this man came bounding down the steps towards me. He had a badge on which said, "Welcomer." And as I walked, and my wife and I walked towards the door, it was, "Welcome, welcome, welcome!" And I thought, I'm dying of embarrassment. And then halfway through the service, they asked me to stand up and say something about ourselves. I never went back. Now, maybe you're different. Maybe you like that kind of welcome. But how do you get the balance right for people, and it may be different for different people? And you know, I thought, if anybody ever asks me to stand up in church as a visitor and say something about myself, I think I'm going to thank them for their welcome. And then I'm going to say something like, it's not every church that welcomes somebody who's just come out of prison after 30 years. I just want to see their faces. It's not true, by the way. But seriously, how do we welcome people when they come to join us? Because if we get it wrong, we maybe will only have had one chance. So something for us to think about: how do we welcome people? And what are our expectations when we come to church? Do we really expect God to meet us and speak to us? Because if we don't, we'll miss it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.